Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
According to the British Columbia Nurses Union, rampant and open drug use, weapons, and violence have become commonplace in British Columbia hospitals since the drug decriminalization took place. It threatens the safety of both the patients and frontline health workers. This according, again, to the British Columbia Nurses Union. A leaked internal memo from BC's Northern Health Authority covering the northern half of the province revealed staff at hospitals where the region had been instructed to tolerate drugs and weapons at their workplaces. Yet that staff at these hospitals have been instructed to tolerate drugs and weapons at their workplaces. Adrian Geer is the president of the British Columbia Nurses Association. Ms. Geer joins us on the Roy Green Show. In your wildest of nightmares, Ms. Geer, did you ever anticipate anything like this?
Well, first I want to say thank you for having me. And I appreciate your opening comments. But I also don't want to leave the listeners with the perspective that open drug use is happening like everywhere in every unit in every hospital. Certainly we've had members come forward where we're very live to some situations that is very concerning. Where I think things went incredibly sideways is the fact that the health employers are not enforcing policies to keep nurses, other healthcare workers and patients safe. The fact that there is this trial period of decriminalization, that in itself, I wouldn't say is what's responsible to some of the incidents that my members have experienced. It's the fact that the health employers are not upholding policies. In British Columbia hospitals, you certainly are not to be smoking anything. So, we do have policies in place, but it's the health employers that have failed to enforce them. So I just wanted to clarify some of our concerns.
Yeah, I didn't for a moment suspect that it was happening in every hospital and in every hospital room, but the fact that it is happening is of deep concern. And
it is of concern for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it's happening in a percentage of hospitals, the additional concern I would have that it will only become more of an issue if it's not properly addressed now.
And I agree with you 100%. There's certainly been a lot of coverage over this story this last couple of weeks. And what I'm grateful is that there's now going to be a conversation. Decriminalization came in, and I would say without really thinking through some of the unintended consequences. And so, this gives everybody an opportunity. It gives the government, the health employers, I hope nurses are at the table, certainly those with lived experience with addiction, to sort this out. Because currently what is going on in some facilities is not acceptable. While nurses absolutely support harm reduction and we want to provide compassionate patient-centered care, it's out of balance currently in some instances where nurses are being inadvertently exposed to illicit substance. Generally, it's smoking of fentanyl, but there's certainly other situations where nurses are being exposed, and that can't happen. That's not good for the patients. It's the other patients that are there. It's not good for the healthcare staff, and ultimately, it's not a good situation for the person who has an addictions issue.
Yeah, I don't know how inadvertent that is, but I spent some time in hospital almost exactly a year ago. I spent several weeks in hospital and followed that up with surgery. And the nurses were the most amazing people. I had the privilege to have helping me for that period of time. And they're so dedicated and devoted, and they work so far beyond what one could reasonably expect. So what I'm hearing and what I read is absolutely shocking. Ms. Geer, can you take us inside, please, a hospital room where this is occurring, where there is smoking of fentanyl, where there's violence, and where there are threats? That's all. It sounds more like a prison ward than a hospital.
Yeah, and again, you know, this isn't happening absolutely.
No, I understand that.
But we're certainly seeing concerning trends, and you know, we have six health authorities, and I would say we're hearing a lot from our members in about three of them, in terms of where this is happening.
That's an alarm bell right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure. Like we are concerned. This situation needs to be managed. People, you know, need to have access to harm reduction, but certainly, you know, consuming in a patient bedroom. So that would be an example. And when I say advertent, so a nurse walks in to provide care and the patient has been smoking fentanyl. That would be an example, or is in the bathroom and actually, you know, is maybe unresponsive and the nurse is going in to render, aid because the person has actually overdosed. Those are the situations that have happened. Where has this activity taken place? Certainly emergency rooms and like bathrooms, for example. We've had examples on maternity units. We've had examples on, you know, medical surgical units. But again, it's not that this is happening in absolutely every facility. What we're concerned about is that when it does happen and nurses are raising safety concerns for themselves and others, the narrative gets co-opted. And it's, you know, the employer's response is, oh, you don't support harm reduction? Are you discriminating against people with substance use disorder? And that approach is anything but a culture that is safe to bring concerns forward. And so that's what we want to address. We want
appropriate policies. It's your fault.
Yeah, that's been the nurse's fault. In some instances. And that's not helpful at all.
No, I mean, it's your fault if the employer being the government.
I would actually say loosely. That have the responsibility to have appropriate policies and enforce them. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that, you know, the government is now fully aware as to what's going on and what some of the unintended consequences have been of decriminalization. But I think there's time to sort this out. We need to keep, you know, I need to keep my nurses safe, that my members.
Yeah, you do.
And thank you for acknowledging just how work nurses, the hard work that nurses coast to coast, you know, and the very challenging working conditions and not having enough of us. So this in BC is certainly a complexity to the situation and one that urgently needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I was in an ICU unit and for 4 days, I think it was 4 days. I wasn't really aware of what was going on around me. I had some rather strange ideas about what was going on around me, but I think that's all the medications they gave me. Mm-hmm. But the nurses were absolutely stunningly kind, generous, and taking great care of me. I could never say enough. And so I put myself into the position of the patient who's in the room, and you said it's taking place in maternity wards. Mm-hmm. I put myself in the place of the patient who's in a room, who's ill, and this insanity of violence and smoking fentanyl is going on around the patient. And then I put myself in the place of the nurse who's trying to take care of the patient, trying to defuse the problem around her or him. That's absolutely totally unfair, and it's unfair to suggest that the nurses are being irresponsible or uncaring by reporting it. It's absolutely they should report it.
Yeah, agreed. And fortunately, you know, that example, you know, although we've had a few of them, are, you know, few and far between. You know, there's also been other situations where this has taken place and, you know, managers have been supportive and responsive. So, I mean, that is the other side of this as well.
Yeah, but Ms. Geer, you wouldn't be talking about this to me or anybody else if it weren't a very serious concern that you have.
It is a serious concern, and the safety of nurses and other healthcare professionals needs to be everyone's priority. In terms of this situation, as alarming as it is, you know, I think there's a broader conversation about safety within the healthcare system. I mean, employers have other policies. For example, violence isn't to be tolerated, and yet it is. And every day in BC hospitals, nurses are, you know, experience aggression, verbal violence, physical violence. And, you know, I don't believe that the health employers do enough to enforce those policies. There are existing policies around fatigue, and yet nurses are expected to work 12, 16, 24 hours, work, you know, on their days off. They are fatigued. They're burning out. It's impacting them physically. And yet, you know, the employer is very willing to waive those policies as well. And so I think the conversation really needs to be, how do we create, you know, quality practice environments that are safe, not only for patients, but also for nurses. And this example of, you know, examples of unfettered, you know, ability to consume illicit substances is one more example, and one that definitely needs to be addressed urgently.
Ms. Geer, what do you say? Sorry, changing gears here from what I asked you before the break, but when I was in the hospital, it was the young nurses were the ones that were absolutely spectacular, and the nursing students who were taking care of patients, me included, spectacular young people. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I say to them right now that this is a really difficult time in nursing for many reasons, and mostly because there's simply not enough of us to deliver the care. But this is a moment in time. I still believe that, you know, nursing is one of the most amazing professions. And so what I say to young people is please join us. But there's some serious challenges, and it is the responsibility of the health employers to address the conditions of work. The conditions of work that are turning nurses away from this profession. Every year we lose new grads. Every year we lose nurses that, you know, are more of my vintage and, you know, closer to retirement, that choose to leave early because the working conditions are poor. This situation of being exposed inadvertently, when I say inadvertently, just to clarify, that means like you're walking into an area where it's not anticipated. And, you know, this is one more example of nurses not feeling like their health and safety matters.
And with good cause. And with good reason.
I didn't hear what you just said.
I said with good reason they feel that way.
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. And so it is a balance. How do we support those with addictions issues? Like, there's been a toxic, like, drug crisis for about the last 8 years. Last year alone, we lost over 2,500 people to illicit substances. So, you know, so how do we provide that care to this population that has been marginalized and is vulnerable, and at the same time ensure that staff is safe? And I think, you know, this is possible. It might not be a popular opinion, but it is possible. But the employers have to do the work here, and they're the ones that have to have the appropriate policies. They need to enforce them. They need to be providing nurses with, you know, support and education and resources. This isn't the type of nursing that everyone wants to be participating in. Some of us want to take care of kids. Some of us want to take care of seniors. Some of us want to be an ICU nurse. Right. There are nurses that are really proud of the work, as they should be, around harm reduction. So let's, you know, support those nurses to stay safe and support this population.
Okay.
But it can't happen on the backs of nurses' safety right
Ms.
now.
Ms. Geer, I really appreciate you coming on the program. I'd like to talk to you again going forward and see how this turns out.
Absolutely. And we didn't get an opportunity to talk about the weapons. And I just have to say that from our perspective, there really should be zero tolerance.
Absolutely. And we'll talk again. We will definitely talk. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Adrian Geer is the best to you and your listeners. Thank you.
Adrian Geer is the president of the BC Nurses Union. If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.